Now, I'm going to need a lot of response today because I am feeling Pentecostal tonight, okay? I am feeling the fire of the Holy Spirit. I believe I got a word for you that's going to shift you into this next season. I'm going to need a lot of response. Let me hear it.
Yeah.
Okay, come on. Let me hear over here. What about over here? Listen, there are moments where God causes you to pause everything you're doing, to lay down your agenda, and to hear the voice of the Spirit. And I believe that's what God is doing today. So today, I am not talking about wholeness, okay? We're going to resume our wholeness series. We got 3 more messages starting next week in our wholeness series. But today, I got a word for you. Are you ready? Are you ready? Now listen, last week, Pastor Sonny talked about Kairos moments. Okay, there's special moments where there's a grace for God to do something above and beyond, okay? I don't know about you, but there have been plenty of Kairos moments in my life, moments where there was just favor. One example, when Krista and I started to launch San Francisco, y'all don't know the backstory, but in 2013, we tried to do this thing. And every time we try to run, we hit a wall. Have you ever run into a wall? It does not feel good, okay? But every time we were trying to get this thing off the ground, we hit a wall. There was no grace. It was not the Kairos moment for sons and daughters. But when we launched in 2016 last year, it's like we didn't even have to worry about any walls. God just cleared a path for us to run. Listen, there are Kairos moments in our lives, moments that are ripe with breakthrough, seasons that are ripe with breakthrough, and I believe that we are on the cusp of that season. Are you ready for that? Now listen, there are rhythms to the spiritual life. How many of you guys know that? There's seasons where you're running, right? Running fast, right? There's seasons. Oh, that was quick, right? Kind of like fig right there. My wife's impressed. There's seasons where God calls you to run, and there's seasons where God calls you to stop and rest. There's seasons where you feel high. There's seasons where you feel low. There's seasons where God restores you and heals you, and there's seasons where you celebrate, right? There are ebbs and flows to our spiritual life. You can't always be at this pace the whole time, even though sometimes it feels like I'm like that because I talk like this. You can't always be at this pace. There are rhythms in our spiritual life. And I believe that it is significant that we started off the year doing the wholeness series. Let me tell you why. Because we're doing wholeness. We're clearing out all the junk inside of ourselves. But how many of you guys know that healing is not the end goal? I want you to hear me, church. Healing, being well in your soul, is not the end goal. What did we say the first week? Why are we pursuing wholeness? So that we could have unrestricted love towards God and unrestricted love towards others. Listen, the world has better self-help books than our messages. I promise you. They have better self-help methods. They have better self-help books. This is not about self-help. This is not about healing. This is about clearing the path so that you can hunger, so that you could be passionate for God, so you could pursue Him with all of your heart. That's what this is about. Wholeness series is not an end of itself. What we're going after is having unrestricted love and passion towards God. If you remember the Israelites, why did God say He's going to set them free? Why? I set you free from the Egyptians so that you could worship. Listen, freedom is coming upon our community in this season. How many of you guys have been experiencing great healing in your hearts and souls? Listen, it's happening, but it's not the end goal, okay? It's not the end goal. I believe God is stirring something deep within us. You guys feel that? You guys feel that? It's important that we're doing this together. Let me tell you why. Because relational oneness, going after God is fine. And one of my favorite quotes is, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And so you guys see this sometimes. How many of you guys have been in a ministry or church where there's just that one guy? You know what I'm talking about? You're in the middle of worship. And there's that one guy who's just dancing and like shouting, ah, yeah, 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 yeah. There's that one guy who, oh, he's having a fast every week. There's that one guy that's reading the Bible zealously. There's that one guy that comes hours early. But the rest of the church, they're not on board, right? And they're kind of looking at that guy's like, that's nice. Just wait till he comes down, right? How many of you guys have experienced that? It's important that not a few of us are burning in this season, but that we go together. Why? Because one person that goes alone is going to burn out. But if we go together, imagine how far we can go. And so I want you to know that we're not leaving any man behind, right? This is like we're in war zone right now. We ain't leaving a single person behind. We are going together. Are you guys following me? Now, I told you that God works through seasons. I believe right now, okay? Right now, just look at the ground. Just right now, I believe God is saying this is holy ground. I believe God is saying today is a holy moment. I believe God is saying today I am doing something new. God is saying today in this moment is a Kairos moment where I'm going to do something. I am going to ignite something that's going to be powerful. Now listen, I told you there's seasons to this. There was a season in college, okay? And Krista remembers, but there was a season in college where we did this thing called chapel. And every Thursday we would meet to pray. And listen, we were so passionate in that season that we would have a prayer meeting for the prayer meeting, okay? And so listen, chapel started at 8. You know what time we arrived? We arrived at 3 p.m. And we would do worship practice and we would pray until 8 p.m. We wouldn't even eat dinner, y'all. We would just come and we would just practice. We would set up everything and we would pray. And then we would have our prayer meeting from 8 to 11. 3 to 11 p.m., we were just going after God. And I remember some of those moments were the most powerful moments. I remember Nicole was there a few times. She got knocked out in the spirit. There are moments in that, during that time, there was such a special season. There was a grace for a community to run after God with all their hearts. There was a grace for the community, for everyone to be deeply hungry together. There was a community that was just going after God with all of their hearts. And listen, I believe in my spirit, it's been confirmed. People have been sending me emails. I went on a fast last week with a few brothers. It's been confirmed that this is that season for us. This is that season for us. I already feel the hesitation. I already feel the hesitation. Some of you are saying, but I'm grown up now. Yeah, when I was little, fine. I could run as fast as I want, as long as I want. I'm kind of quick, huh? Listen, the hardest thing to do is to grow up but remain childlike. And I believe this season, God is going to teach us what it means to be that child again, to run after him, to hunger for his presence, to be like you were when you were a young man or young girl. Some of y'all still young men and some young girls, right? But I'm about to turn 30 this month, so I'm speaking to myself. I also feel hesitation from some of you because this last season for you was a broken season. It was a very hard season. It wasn't an easy season. There was a lot of brokenness and God, a lot of doing healing and heart surgery and rebuilding. But I hear God saying that it is time. And you don't have to worry that you're not all put together and when you run off, flaps are going to fly off. You don't have to worry about that. God is saying, I'm going to give you the grace to run just as fast as everyone else. And you don't have to be all together before you launch. Now listen, this is that season. This is that time. This is that Kairos moment. And I believe that God is going to launch it right now. Are you guys ready for that? Now listen, one thing that I hear God saying, this ain't just for consumption. This is a sermon illustration. I believe what God is saying, in this season, I want to break off fast food faith. Look to your neighbor, say fast food faith. You see, this is fast food. How many of y'all love McDonald's? Some of y'all in the glory right now. What other things did you guys put on that board? Some of you said Bob's Burgers. That's not even a real place. Like, come on. Come on. Some of y'all love Burger King, Taco Bell. Right? Some of y'all love Carl's Jr. Some of y'all love In-N-Out. Can I get an amen? Amen. Oh, some of y'all like True Burger? Amen. What about Chick-fil-A? Shake Shack? Okay, now this is the West Coast, right? See, oh, East Coast, sorry. See, I believe what God is saying this season, he wants us to lay down our fast food faith. Look at your neighbor and say, fast food faith. You see, to stir deep hunger, you have to get rid of the junk food. Okay? I'm going somewhere. Yeah, you could tell me, okay? To stir a deep hunger for real food, you got to get rid of the junk food. Now, some of y'all already not following me because y'all already addicted to this, okay? And college students, I understand. I struggle is real, okay? But when you've eaten junk food for so long, real food is not appealing to you. When you've had junk food and all you've eaten, Chris, you know, right? It's real. We live together in college. When you eat junk food, that's all you eat. You no longer have a palate for really good food. I can't recall how many times Christopher and I went to a nice restaurant and all he would want, and this place, you know, there's like escargot. There's like fancy Asian noodles, crab. Chris, what do you want? Tater tots. There's like fancy meats. Chris, what do you want? Bacon cheeseburger. Nothing wrong with that, Chris. There's some high quality bacon cheeseburger. But listen, what is fast food, okay? Fast food is cheap, fast food is quick, and fast food is convenient. That's why it's appealing to us. But you know what? Fast food actually doesn't have a lot of nutritional value for you. It's high in cholesterol and low in nutritional value. And so when you eat this, you're getting a lot of cholesterol, but you're not getting a lot of nutrition. Follow me here, okay? And so I believe God is saying, I'm getting rid of fast food faith. I'm getting rid of the faith that's all cholesterol and no nutrition. I'm getting rid of the stuff in your life that's all fluff and no substance. I'm getting rid of the stuff in your life that is meaningless so that you could hunger again for what is meaningful. God is saying, listen, this ain't about fast food. I am Chef's Table. How many of y'all know Chef's Table, right? Chef's Table, they have intricate stories. We saw this episode last week. They're making plates based on altitude, okay? That this food grows in this altitude, and then they stack another plate on top of it. This food grows in this altitude, and they're just stacking it. Listen, when you watch that kind of stuff, you think, that's what I was made to eat, right? I can't afford it right now, Lord, but that's what I was made to eat. And you look at your fast food and your junk food, and you think, this is not what I was made for. Listen, you are not made for fast food faith. You are not made for the things, the junk food that doesn't bring you real nutrition. Now listen, y'all, before I met Krista, I was a wreck, okay? 2012 was the unhealthiest year of my life. And I'll tell you why. Because I'd be long days working at church. I'd get home, and right around 11 p.m., y'all know right near the midnight hour, something stirs inside of you. Okay? You feel that rumble. And you think, I got the munchies. And so what do? You look in your cupboard, you see chicken. I ain't got time to cook that. I need something quick. I need something convenient. I need something cheap. And so you go out. And so I remember in 2012, almost every night, maybe every other night, okay, I'm exaggerating here, I would go out, I would get some junk food, I'd come home, throw on a TV show, and just watch it and eat it. And at first, it was all right, right? It's just fun, you know? I'm just chilling. I'm just vegging out, right? I'm just Netflixing, you know, okay? But listen, after a time, That really takes a toll on you. And it was so bad and it was so long that I went through seasons of fast food that I liked, okay? Y'all have seasons? There was a season where I had Jack in the Box every night. There's a season then I went to Carl's Jr., then McDonald's. And then it's kind of like a cycle. Go back to Jack in the Box, get those curly fries, right? And what I found over time is that not only was it not nutritional for me, but it was a detriment to my body. It was negatively affecting me. I was getting pimples everywhere. I was getting overweight. I was feeling sluggish, low on energy. And I was the unhealthiest that I'd ever been in my life. Listen, fast food faith. What's quick? What's cheap? What's convenient? What are the things that you're filling yourself with that you know has no nutritional value for you? What are the things? What are your Egg McMuffins? Come on. What are the things that you're filling yourself with that have no nutritional value for you? You see, most of us settle for faith that's quick, convenient, and cheap. What am I talking about? We fit Jesus into our schedule only if it's convenient for us. How many of y'all guilty? I could just repent right now, right? How many of y'all guilty of that? Jesus, I will only fit you into my schedule when it's convenient. And so when things get busy and there's a lot to do, the first thing that goes is my time with Jesus. The first thing that goes is my pursuit with Jesus. In fact, Jesus be knocking at my door, and I open the door and I send him my secretary, right? Jesus, when can we pencil you in, okay? Okay, we have a free opening next Tuesday at 10 p.m. We'll do that. 15-minute QT okay with you? Perfect. We'll call you back, right? We do that with Jesus. As soon as it's inconvenient, we put him away. A lot of times we treat Jesus like, how many of you guys know that faith is not quick? And some of us are so impatient when God is not answering prayer, we just give up on it. But see, God never said faith is meant to be quick or convenient or cheap. I believe what God is doing, he's eliminating that kind of faith in this season. The things that have replaced our affection for him, he's calling us to throw down so that we could hunger again for the real thing. And listen, if you've been tasting of the world too long and you haven't been able to hunger of the real thing, God is going to reset your palate in this season. Are you guys excited for that? You see, anything that's quick, convenient, and cheap is not worth your time. Ladies, I want you to know that about your future husband. Anything that's cheap, convenient, or quick is not worth your time. Men, I want you to know that about your future wife. Anything that's cheap, quick, or convenient is not worth your time. Listen, when I was pursuing Krista, okay? Oh, you ready for this? When I was pursuing Krista, it was not Krista. When I was pursuing Krista, first of all, it was not quick, okay? There were years and years where God took me and I had to wrestle in the secret place. I had to wrestle in the secret place and work on my issues so that I could finally pursue her. And now that we're together, Lord knows it's not going to be quick because we're going to be together for a lifetime, right? Amen. Right? Nothing quick is valuable. It wasn't convenient, right? I had to throw everything away so that I could pursue you. I had to focus on you. You were my soul, the sole person that I was reaching for. And Lord knows it was not cheap. Can I get an amen, right? Listen, why? All these things, even though things are quick, convenient, and cheap, and it might be easy to get, those things have no value in your life. It's the blood. It's the sweat. It's the tears. It's the moments where you're struggling and wrestling that makes something valuable. And a lot of times, we haven't wrestled. We haven't wrestled in the prayer closet. We haven't sweat or blood or shed a single tear. We haven't done anything. And so we wonder why our relationship with God is the first thing we give up. Why? Because we haven't ascribed any value to it. You haven't bled for it. You didn't sweat for it. You didn't fight for it. You didn't wrestle for it. And listen, I'm not talking about fleshly striving, because how many of you guys know on the cross 2,000 years ago, Jesus paid it all for us. He claimed the victory. But there's another side where we're longing for the return of Jesus. And how many of y'all ever been lovesick? You know what I'm talking about? Where you love someone so much that when you're not there, you're almost aching. Y'all know I was in Seattle for a bachelor party this weekend. And I didn't let any of the guys know, okay, because I'm trying to be a man, trying to be tough. But secretly inside, I was only gone 3 days, but I was aching for my wife. I didn't tell them because they would make fun of me, especially Chris. But you're going to understand when you get married next month, okay? But secretly inside, I was aching to be with my wife. Listen, this is what we're talking about. Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, he said, I'm coming back again. I'm coming back for my bridegroom. But until then, he's looking for a church that will be lovesick lovers, who will be aching for his return. Like, God, Jesus, I know I have you, but until you return, there's this thing inside of me, there's this part of me that's aching, that's longing to be with you, longing for your return, longing for the coming of the groom. I am waiting, God, and I am aching, and I cannot wait until I'm with you again. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? This is what God wants to stir up in this season, is that lovesick lover, the heart of the lovesick lover, where you're longing for more of Jesus. I want to throw up this slide. John Piper, it's a famous quote. He says, if you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, It's not because you've drunk deeply and are satisfied, because how many of you guys know there's no end to who God is? But it's because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world, and your soul is stuffed with small things, and there's no room for the great. Listen, church, in this season, God is putting aside all the small things, all the things that don't matter that we've just been nibbling on. He's putting them aside so that we can make room for the greater things. All this to say, listen, I'm excited to announce to you, church, for the first time in the history of Living Hope and Sons and Daughters, we are launching a season, a corporate season of Lent. Put it up. Bam. All right. And some of y'all looking at this, you're like, that's really gothic. I don't know what Lent is. That's fine. I'm explaining it to you, okay? Some of y'all know what Lent is? Lent is traditionally practiced in the Catholic Church, but actually the early church practiced Lent as well. Lent is a season where Christians ready themselves. They prepare themselves to experience the full impact of Easter, right, by fasting and praying for 40 days. I'm already losing some of y'all. Y'all heard fasting. Y'all heard 40 days. But don't worry. Just stay with me, okay? And so this season, as a community, as a church, we're going to participate in the season of Lent as we build up towards Easter. And then during Easter, we're going to celebrate the fullness of the resurrection of Christ, okay? And so let me just tell you a little bit about Lent. So Lent, we prepare ourselves to experience the full impact of the resurrection of Christ. Okay, let me give you an example. I know I don't look like it, but I ran a marathon 2 years ago. Sorry. A half marathon, okay? Now listen, you might not believe me now, but I guarantee that every single one of you right now can finish a half marathon. I promise you. Every single one of you can do 13.1 miles right now. Yes, Krista, even you. Every single one, okay? Even you, Chris, okay? Every single one of you can do a half marathon right now. But here's the thing. All of you or most of you will be miserable the entire time. I promise that if you have enough willpower and you have enough strength to finish it, but the question is the question isn't if you're going to finish it or not. The question is how much you're going to enjoy it. In the same way, for a lot of us, the finished work of the cross is readily available for us. It is done, okay? There's no question. Your salvation is secured. The resurrection happened. His victory is yours. But a lot of us haven't gotten to a place where we could enjoy the full benefits of it yet. Do you follow me? And so what Lent really is, for these 40 days, as we build up and as we build up towards the celebration of Easter, what we're doing is we're readying our hearts. We're readying ourselves so that when we do celebrate the resurrection of Christ, we can experience it fully. So that you're not that guy at that half marathon that's dragging his feet, but you're that guy who's sprinting across the finish line like, yeah! Listen, that's what I want. When we get to Easter, that we experience the fullness of his resurrection, but not just ending there, but to understand that this is the way that we were meant to live our whole lives, okay? And so that's what Lent is about. So typically Lent is about 40 days, okay, of fasting and prayer. And this year we're going to conclude it with Seder. And what Seder is, we're going to recreate the Passover meal together. We're going to break fast. And we're going to understand what every element of the Passover, why it was significant, what's the traditional background behind every single moment of it. We're going to break it together. Then we're going to celebrate Good Friday, which is the day that Jesus was arrested and killed. And then we're going to celebrate together Easter Sunday. You guys ready for that? Come on. I love this quote. I don't have it on there, but it says, every fast and feast in the church for 2,000 years has been given to the whole body to remind us how Christ's actions affect us now. The goal of Lent is to experience the fullness of his resurrection. Now, very briefly, I'm going to talk about fasting because I lost some of y'all and I haven't gotten you back since I mentioned fasting and 40 days. Fasting is a lost art. Let me just say that. Fasting is that unpopular kid, right, in class among the other spiritual disciplines. You know, there's that popular kid, worship, right? There's that other popular kid, prayer. There's that other popular kid reading the Bible, meditation, but fasting's that kid in the corner that no one sees, that no one, there's cobwebs growing, you know. No one pays attention to that spiritual discipline. But listen, fasting is powerful. So what is fasting? Fasting is a Christian's abstinence from something for spiritual purposes. That's the easiest definition. You abstain from something for spiritual purposes, typically food, but not restrained to food, okay? In Matthew 6, Jesus says to his disciples, when you fast, not if you fast. What that tells us, theologians, and every single one of you are theologians, is that Jesus assumed that his disciples would fast. If he said if, sure, maybe. But he said, when you fast. Now, I want to make this distinction. It is not a command, okay? I am not commanding you. Jesus is not commanding you to fast. But he assumes that his followers would want to fast, okay? And so let's just get that clear. Jesus assumed that we would fast. Now, Mark chapter 2, when do we fast? Mark chapter 2, 18 through 20. I'm going to just read verse 20. It said, but the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. The Pharisees and the disciples were going back and forth saying, why do we fast, but you guys don't fast? And Jesus said, there will be a time when the disciples fast. It's when I ascend into the heavens in the period before I come back. How many of you guys know that time is now? Now is the time that Jesus is saying that my body needs to fast. Now is the time that we are called to fast. Now, get this clear. Fasting is not a holy diet. Can I get an amen? Look to your neighbor and say, fasting is not diet. You see, most of us understand this half of fasting really well. Fasting is abstaining from something, okay? What am I fasting from? A lot of us get that. I've been in so many fleshly fasts, y'all, okay, where I fast and I give up something and I'm suffering the entire way. But that's only half. What is the other half? What are we fasting for? See, fasting is more than just emptying. Fasting is feasting, okay? Yeah, that's tweetable right there. Fasting is not just emptying, but fasting is feasting. See, abstaining from something like food, or for some of you it might be media, or Netflix, or girls, or boys. For some of you, whatever you're abstaining from is only half the battle. If that's all you're doing, you're just on a diet, y'all, or you're just on an earthly fast. But a spiritual fast is meant to be feasting. On one half, I'm emptying myself. I'm putting aside all the junk food. I'm tossing it away. I'm glad that didn't unravel. But on the other end, you're consuming all of who God is. Listen, as we go on Lent together, I want you not just to abstain because you will be miserable, but I want you to feast on who God is. John Piper also says this, fasting is a temporary renunciation of something that is in itself good, like food. Hallelujah. Lord knows food is good. In order to intensify our expression of need for something greater, namely God and his work in our lives. We're laying aside something good so we can make room for something that's greater. So that's what fasting is about. Now, I just want to go over two purposes of fasting. And this number one, the first priority of fasting, and this is what we're going after, is to stir a deep hunger for God, okay? This is the end goal right here in fasting, is to stir a deep hunger for God. And John Piper also says this, the greatest enemy of hunger for God is not poison, but apple pie. It is not the banquet of the wicked that dulls our appetite for heaven, but endless nibbling at the table of the world. It is not the X-rated video, hallelujah, but the primetime dribble of triviality we drink in every night. We have to realize there are things in our lives that have dulled ourselves to the appetite for more of who God is. And some of those things might be good things. For some of you, it is food. For some of you, I'm going to get a lot of amens for this. It's Netflix. Ooh. For some of y'all like me, it's sweets. I just love my ice cream and candy. For some of you, it's relationships. For some of you, it's your work. For some of you, it's that hobby. For some of you, it's your significant other. What are the things that we have continued to eat that have dulled our real appetite for God? You see, why is this important? Because as we fast, we're stirring a deep hunger for God. And what you hunger for, you will relentlessly pursue. Okay, there was a season where there was this one snack called Snyder's Hot Buffalo Pretzels. And I remember me and my roommate, Pastor Daniel from the Emeryville campus, we lived together, and we were so addicted to these stupid little hot buffalo flavored pretzels. And we hungered for it so much that I kid you not, one night we went to 5 different Safeways in the region to track it down. Why? Because we were craving it. We had kept consuming it at a retreat, and we got unhealthily addicted to it, so that when we got home, there was nothing that would stop us from finding Schneider's. We finally found it in a Safeway a few cities away, and we bought 5 bags. What am I saying? What you hunger for, you will relentlessly pursue. And so as we fast, what we're doing is we're making space to reclaim that deep hunger for God. Now, I love this. John Piper also says, it's not up there, don't worry. Fasting is an exclamation point at the end of the sentences, I need you, I want you, I long for you, I love you. You see, I know, all of y'all love God. All of y'all know you need God. But what fasting does is it puts that exclamation point, saying, God, I don't just love you, I love you. God, I don't just need you, I need you. Think about the exclamation point. Fasting adds the exclamation point to your faith. Fasting says, Lord, I don't just long for you, but I long for you. Listen, that's what we're going after. How many of you guys are hungry for that? Listen, fasting is the key. Fasting is going to eliminate all the junk so that you could pursue what is real. Now, real quick, the second focus of fasting, especially for this season, is going to be for breakthrough. Okay, the priority is hungering for more of God. Because how many of you guys know, more than anything in your life, more than any project God is calling you to do, you are his ultimate project. And so he's working on you first, okay? And so the first priority is a hunger for God. But the second thing is for breakthrough, okay? Breakthrough. There are breakthroughs that happen in the spirit that can happen no other way than fasting, right? Matthew 17:21. Jesus says some demons only come out by prayer and fasting. He's saying there's some breakthroughs that can't be obtained by hours of prayer. There's some breakthroughs that can't be obtained just by worshiping or meditating on scripture. There's some breakthroughs that can only come by fasting. Listen, there's some breakthroughs that you need in your life. Whether it's a circumstance or a family relationship or a situation, some of y'all looking for jobs, some of y'all looking for wives, some of y'all looking for breakthrough in your lives. I believe that this is a Kairos moment where God is opening up the heavens and saying, right now, pursue me fast, and you will see breakthrough. You will see breakthrough. See, fasting releases that Kairos moment for breakthrough to burst from the heavens into the natural. Listen, there are things that you've been contending for that I firmly believe with all my heart that as you fast in this season, you're going to see that exponential release of the manifestation of that. I also believe that there are breakthroughs that are coming in your future that you will not experience during this fast, that you will secure during this fast. You know, in 2013, our church was trying to get a new building, and for some reason, the Lord convicted my heart. I was sitting at my pastor's house right before New Year's, okay? And I was sitting with Pastor Benjamin and Pastor Sonny, our head pastors, and I remember I just felt this conviction. As we're looking for a new building, I just felt like, I feel like the Lord is calling me to fast all year. To fast all year so that we could get our building. And I was feeling all noble. And I remember I was sitting with Pastor Benjamin and Sonny, and I told Pastor Benjamin, hey, PB, I just feel like God is calling me to fast next year for this building. I kid you not. He just looks at me like this, and he just goes like this. Right there in front of me on the table. And I remember I'm just sitting there, Pastor Sunny's cooking in the kitchen. She's like, yeah. I was like, I looked at her, and she's like. And so I look in front of me. Pastor Benjamin says, "5 minutes. No one said a word. I was just watching him. Right? For 5 minutes. And so finally he put his head up. He said, that's from the Lord. And then he walked away. And so what I did, I dedicated my entire 2013 to fasting meat, okay? So all of 2013, I fasted meat. And I thought in my mind, oh man, the breakthrough is coming. The breakthrough is coming. We're going to get our building because I'm fasting. And not only me, but three other people at our church started fasting meat with me the whole year. One of them actually did it more for physical purposes, but I won't get into that. But we fasted that entire year. And I thought, all right, it's coming. July hits. No building. It's all right. I'm still fasting. The breakthrough's coming. August, September, October, November. Then December. You know when you just have that last sliver of hope? I'm like, all right, there's 30 days left, God. I've been fasting all year for you, for meat. I love meat. And I remember the days kept dwindling down, 15 days, 10 days. I'm like, oh, this is that kind of miracle, right? This is that last minute kind of miracle. Fasting 5 days, 4 days, 3 days, 2 days. And then 2014 hit. And honestly, I wasn't that sad because I was just ready to eat meat, okay? But really, I wondered, where's the breakthrough? And to this day, we still don't have a building. But I believe, because of Scripture, that my fasting for that year was not in vain. There are breakthroughs in my future that I've already fasted for. There are demons that I'm going to meet that are just going to melt in my presence because I fasted that year. Listen, for some of you, you're going to receive that breakthrough. For others, there might be breakthroughs you don't even perceive that's happening in the spirit. There are victories in the future that are being won for you as you fast during this season. I believe that's going to happen. And so, church, I believe that God wants to do this as a community. So I want to invite the worship team up, and this is what we're going to do. We are going to start Lent next Sunday, okay? So next Sunday, you start your fast, okay? And we'll start it after service. So get your last meal in before church. Have a good weekend, whatever you want. And some of you already, while you're hearing this, you already know what you're going to fast. For some of you, it's some kind of food. Maybe it's sugar. For some of you, maybe God's calling you to do a liquid fast. We're going to do this for 40 days, okay? For some of you, it's media. It's Netflix. For some of you, it's music. For some of you, it's relationships. Some of you already know God is already stirring what he's calling you to fast so that you can make room for a deeper hunger for him. But for the rest of you, I want you to just take this moment and I want you to ask God, God, first of all, am I ready to do this? And I'm going to answer for you, yes, you're ready to do this. You just need to make a decision. So I want every eye closed and I want you to ask God, God, what are you calling me to fast during this Lent season? Not that it's bad. Not that I'll never drink or taste or enjoy it again. But what good can I give up in this season so that I can make room for greater? What is it? What is that thing? And listen, this is not a must. This is for those who are not satisfied with the status quo. This is for those who want to go above and beyond. And I believe he's calling every single one of us to do it as a community. We can go farther together. And so ask God right now, just take a moment. God, what are you calling me to fast during this Lent season? Starting next Sunday for 40 days, what are you calling me to fast? What are you calling me to give up to make room for a deeper hunger? Stand to our feet and let's respond to this. I wanna give you the right expectations, okay? This is not gonna be easy. This is not gonna be euphoric in the sense that you're at Disneyland, you're like, yay. Fasting is not meant to be easy. In fact, during fasting, you're meant to feel the desperation. You're meant to feel the symptoms of hunger, of longing, to speak to a deeper spiritual reality than your physical needs. You're meant to feel the desperation and the hunger and the longing. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. And I feel as we fast during this season of Lent, we're going to experience that hunger for God. I believe God, he's been waiting for a community that will say, I'm ready to take up the mantle. I'm ready to take up the cause, to fast, to long after you, to make room, to hunger for you. Listen, God didn't die on the cross so that you could be comfortable. It's not about comfort. I want to read this last quote by Charles Spurgeon. He says, our seasons of fasting and prayer at the tabernacle have been high days indeed. Never has heaven's gate stood wider. Never have our hearts been nearer the central glory. Listen, I don't know if you know this, but I'm not here to play church. I'm not here to do the cute Christian thing. I am longing for open heavens. I am longing for glory. I am longing for revival. But it starts with the people who say, I'm going to forsake everything else that dulls my appetite for you. It's a community, a church that says, I'm going to forsake everything that's a distraction so that I can make room for more of you. It's going to be a church that says, I am hungering. I am deeply hungering, aching, longing for more of you. And I believe that's what God is going to do in this season. And so right now, just begin to stir up faith. Right now, just begin to stir up faith and respond to God. I want you to say, God, in this season, I'm going after you. And so right now, let's just as one corporate body, let's begin to pray out loud, make declaration, God, in this season, I am choosing to go after you. In this season, I am choosing to pursue you. In this season, I am choosing to lay down every distraction, every other thing, so that I can make room for more of you. In this season, would you reignite a deep hunger, a deep longing, the way that we were meant to live, the way that we were meant to pursue you. Lord, I pray in this season, you will stir deep passion, deep zeal, and a deep pursuit of you that's not fleshly striving. We break all that in Jesus' name, and we say it will be a pure spiritual striving of you. I thank you, Lord, you're doing that in this family. You're doing that in this body. God, we give you glory and we give you honor. I pray 40 days, well, I guess 47 days from now, we'll see the difference it makes. We'll be a body that deeply hungers for you. You're waking us up right now, God. You're waking us up. And so, Lord, this next week, I pray grace as we prepare for the season of Lent. Would you give us clarity on what you're calling us to do? Would you give us clarity on how you're calling us to pursue you? And give us clarity in seeing you. We thank you, God, for what you're doing. And we thank you, God. And Lord, as we finish the wholeness series this month, and we get into our next series about the resurrection, I pray you just continue to clear the junk out of our hearts. You continue to clear the junk out of our souls so that we could fill it with you. I thank you. This season of fasting, we'll be feasting. We'll be feasting on the goodness of who you are. And so, Lord, stir that deep hunger. Wake us up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give a shout offering to the Lord. You guys excited about that? Wow, I've never been so excited about fasting, right? And so I'm really excited. We're going to start that next Sunday. And so let's just do it after service. After service, we're going to officially start the fast as a community. And as I said, next week, we're going to finish. We're going to continue to wrap up our wholeness series. And then we're going to go into our next series after that on the resurrection leading up to Easter. Y'all ready for that? God is waking us up. Stay woke. Hashtag.